Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is a remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The word cinematic gets thrown around pretty casually these days at any rock band that dares to go for a big sound. But in the case of Manchester Orchestra, the Atlanta-based quartet, they have done some genuinely cinematic music. Singer Andy Hull and guitarist Robert McDowell last joined us when they'd done the soundtrack for the movie Swiss Army Man, which starred Daniel Radcliffe as a corpse with a surprisingly useful flatulence problem. It was actually a really good movie, and the score was beautifully done. Now the full band is back with perhaps its most ambitious piece of musical storytelling yet. It's an album called The Million Masks of God, and Andy and Rob are going to play some stripped-back but not too stripped-back versions of a couple of songs. Here they are first with Bedhead.
One, two.
Arguing with the dead. I'm not alone, but it sure feels like someone left. Deaf notes and talking heads. Carrying on your debt. There's blood on the bedhead and volumes you left unsaid. Let them talk and let it have it. Now I'm afraid you're alone. Oh my God, let me relinquish and start to distinguish my past and my time. You and I are all the fire, so oh my God, let me extinguish the habit, the sequence, the loss in my mind. And now I believe in the cool. Clutching my neck, said it's all supposed to end like this. You and I are panoramic. Now I'm afraid of the ghost. Oh my God, let me relinquish and start to distinguish my past and my time. You and I are holy fire, so oh my God, let me extinguish the habit, the sequence, the loss in my mind. And now I believe, right by the entrance you broke. Finally reality's taken its hold. You're not who you were, but you can't let it go. You're not where you're from, but you're always alone. So I stick a flag in the ground. I think I know who I'm living for now. I am what I am, same above as the ground. It's not what I want, but I'm figuring it out. Oh my God, let me relinquish and start to distinguish my past and my time. There is only love and fire, so oh my God, let me extinguish the habit, the sequence, the loss in my mind.
Thank you.
That is called Bedhead. It's music from the Manchester Orchestra, the duo songwriting team of Andy Hull and Robert McDowell, joining us remotely, and that song is on the new Manchester Orchestra record called The Million Masks of God. Andy, Rob, it's great to have you guys back. The last time you were on the show was right after Swiss Army Man,
right?
The soundtrack.
That's right.
And Andy, while that was... I think we talked about this at the time that, you know, Manchester Orchestra had a kind of big cinematic sweep to its music anyway, so doing a soundtrack wasn't such a big leap ahead. But this album seems to have been changed by the process that the two of you and the band in general went through with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it started with making all the music for that movie and then having the task to make the soundtrack for that movie, which was essentially taking all of our pieces that we had scored and putting them together in one listenable form. So when it came time to work then on Black Mile to the Surface and then on this album specifically, we really from the beginning set out to not just write 11 different songs and figure out how to smush them all together. It was about, you know, let's intentionally write these songs so that they can have relationships with each other and be thoughtful about our intros and outros and, you know, to make sure that you're listening to it as one, almost one song, you know, from start to finish.
Yeah. Now, you know, people occasionally will ask me, you know, what's happening with albums? Are albums done? And I'll say, you know, I know streaming is the thing and people drop singles here and there, but there will always be artists who think long form. And Rob, it seems like that's Manchester Orchestra, that this is an album meant to be consumed in one big inhaled swoop.
Yeah, I think our favorite way of listening to records, you know, you have those memories of driving, listening to something start to finish, or on a turntable where you're flipping it over. But to go hand in hand with the Swiss Army Man thing, seeing how music can have connections and repeating themes and tiny little moments that start in the beginning and finally at the end evolve into what they are, we became obsessed with that idea musically and in albums. And if someone does listen to it on a CD, it's we want it to be enjoyable and a journey the entire time.
It might not be the most popular thing, but I agree with you. You know, you can still say a lot of the greatest out there right now still believe in that form. And I do think that it's a great thing that singles are readily available. That was a thing that was happening when albums were around, you know, where bands originally started where they would just have singles and then compile them onto, you know, an album. So I like that the availability to be creative without having to take on the entire world is out there. But there's something about it. It's like a novel or a movie. You're making a piece that's connected and hopefully feels like, you know, a solid, you know, submission into our group of albums that we've made.
What was the initial seed of the idea behind The Million Masks of God?
Well, it started as an idea that it was a man that was finishing his life and he was having a conversation with, you know, some form of a higher being, an angel of death, but not in a scary way. And they're just, it was a discussion that they were having about all the things he'd seen. And I kind of got obsessed with this idea of this old limousine, like maybe from the 80s. And it's helpful for me when I'm to kind of create really specific visuals that maybe don't ever come out in lyrics, but they help my brain go to a place where I want to write a story. So I like this idea. They're sort of in this seedy limousine driving around his life and taking a look at all the different corners from happy to sad. And it felt like, you know, this is the way that Black Mile to the Surface was somewhat revolving around this town in South Dakota. This was somewhat revolving around this, you know, story.
Yeah. It's interesting because there are, you know, many novelists will talk about, you know, creating whole backstories for their characters, which maybe don't get into the novel.
Absolutely.
But they're part of the, and you know, Tolkien famously, like researching where the moon would be in the sky at this time of year. And so that sort of thing really adds the kind of detail that takes something, you know, it makes something believable, you know, gives it that sense of reality.
And yeah. even in the subconscious way, I think for a listener, I've found when I've sort of put more brain power into the story of a character, those characters come across deeper than even being on the nose about it, you know?
Yeah.
And here's our story about this man, and then this happened, and then it's over. You know, it's like you can, if you talk about the window reflection that he sees, you know, one afternoon that makes him think of, you know, whatever it is, it's that to me is more interesting.
Yeah. Now, Rob Andy mentions you don't always want to be on the nose, but while he's writing these lyrics, your dad was, in fact, coming to the end of his life.
Yeah, you know, it was such a big thing that was happening in my life and in everyone around me's life that the same way that that was seeping in, also, you know, the birth of our sons was seeping into the lyrical content and the whole journey of it, but... You know, my dad was an Americana singer-songwriter and loved lyrics and loved stories. And it would be his biggest joy right now to know that he made it into one of those stories. And so I look at it as an honor and a celebration and a really nice thing that will forever encapsulate this moment of time that we were in when it was happening.
When was that moment? I mean, how much of this was done pre-pandemic? How did this album get finished?
Yeah, it was all before. You know, we started writing it in January of 2019, at least as a band. And then we spent the entire year making it and throughout up until March of the next year, right before everything shut down. So we really literally had one of our collaborators, Ethan Greska, in town. He left on a Wednesday. It was the same day the NBA canceled all the games and the country was on lockdown by Saturday. And we were in a moment going like, I mean, Rob, we're laughing about it. We're like, they're saying this could last until June, you know? Like, what are we going to do until June? So we figure, well, let's mix the album. And one of the few benefits, I think, from this situation was it gave us a ton of time to mix it. We had a lot of ideas on this record and a lot of different colors. And so we were able to spend almost 3 months mixing it with Catherine and when she's in London and we're here doing it remotely.
Your co-producer that you've worked with before, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, Catherine Marks. So that was a bonus we had for it. But as far as sort of the storyline, a lot of what we were writing about, you know, was a good bit before Rob's dad had passed and then, you know, a good bit was after. Mm-hmm. And that also felt like quite a scope of what was happening, you know?
I want to come back to the mixing idea because this is a big sounding record.
Yeah.
After we hear the next song, but interestingly, the next song you guys are going to do for us is Keel Timing, which on the record comes before Bedhead.
It does.
And in fact, it is Bedhead's kind of prologue or prelude. You know.
It is. Yes, it is.
And so when you're telling a story, you know, sequencing matters, you know? Dark Side of the Moon has to go that way to make sense, and this mm-hmm. album feels similar.
That's awesome. It was a very hard decision to decide what to release first because we felt Bedhead would have a more immediate reaction with people just as like a single, but we knew that Keel was going to be the second song, so it was almost like, you know, a Star Wars thing or something. we had to release the sequel first. It was cool. What's the word I'm looking for? It was great to just lean into that being an okay concept. Like the melodies can be shared, the drum beats can be similar, but we're playing on a different time of the beat. You know, this doesn't need to be about how can everything be different, but almost how can everything be the same.
Right.
So that was a great exploration on this thing.
All right, we're speaking with Andy and Rob from Manchester Orchestra. The new album is called The Million Masks of God. This song is on it, but let's hear the two of them doing a performance there in the studio. Rob's going to start off the laptop, and he's playing guitar and piano. Andy Hull singing and playing some guitar as well. The song is called Keel Timing.
One, two.
Inside my head, it's roaring. wasn't right, it wasn't wrong, it was holy. Oh, I think I'll start again.
Keel Timing. That's Andy Hull, Rob McDowell from the Manchester Orchestra album, The Million Masks of God. It's the latest Manchester Orchestra album, but of course that a live performance from Rob and Andy, who, you know, make a big noise, just the two of you. But, you know, Andy, you were saying before that song that you and Rob spent a lot of time mixing this record. Now, there are many kind of layers of sound. It clears out, the texture clears out towards the end of the record.
It does, yeah.
But that's another journey, a sonic journey, in addition to the literal one that we go on in this record.
Yeah, you know, that was another sort of rule that we contemplated breaking, which was having a second half of the album that isn't competing with the loudness of the first, really. You know, it has little moments where it dips back into that world, but I liked the parallel maybe to human life that felt like, that there's chaos and youth and understanding and trying to get, you know, trying to figure out life. And then hopefully there's more peace, you know, and forgiveness and acceptance and, you know, the things that we're actually after. And you know, it plagued us for a bit. Like, do we do it? Do we do it? But really, we're just noticing the more and more that we give in to those impulses of trying something that we haven't done before, that we find it more rewarding.
So one of the things, and you guys have alluded to it already, is there is almost a kind of symphonic cast here where themes come back. I mean, literal musical themes, you know, choruses repeat. And sometimes even the lyrics, you know, contain echoes of things that you've heard before. So, you know, for the two of you as songwriters, Rob, especially, I mean, working on the instrumental end of it, that feels to me like it's almost a different kind of that. That's maybe closer to soundtrack writing than conventional songwriting.
Yeah, we definitely have taken the idea of themes and melodies and whether the melody needs to be sung lyrically or you just need to hear it melodically on another instrument. It's become a way for us to connect all of these different moments. And as we were making it, I remember there's a couple key tracks on the album that we were in the final stages and literally a distorted guitar, it would be like, aha, that ties it back into the front half of the album. It's very important for those characters to remain globally across the record as well. But sometimes it won't tell you until the very ending how it needs to appear. So it's a months and months long of a journey.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be intentional with it, but you also have to allow it the space to evolve, you know, because you can try and be super rigid with all these things that line up. But like Rob said, there's an aha moment, you know, several different months going down the line where you realize, oh, this is another way to connect it.
So, and you probably found connections that maybe weren't intended at the time.
Yeah, definitely.
It just kind of happened. Interesting to hear Rob use the word characters for some of these, you know, kind of distinctive sounds that recur through the record. Do you guys think of sounds as having, you know, I mean, they give the album character, but are they characters in the narrative of this record?
That, yeah, it's characters and clothing as well. It's like we talk about clothing a lot. Like, you know, what kind of clothing will be the same that is identified? Sorry, I cut you off.
Yeah, I think that we may have different answers, but for me, they're absolutely characters in my mind. Of, you know, I remember there's a couple songs that we did instrumental bounces of it, and it was like, we're going to make sure that these are the best instrumental bounces we possibly can. So it's like, whether they become supporting characters, they may not be the lead character, but I think that every little part of the DNA of that is important the same way to do the background search on, you know, where the moon is.
Right.
You got to turn over every stone on it.
I just remember that you actually do literally call things. You'd be like, this little guy, and then we'll put this guy here, and then we'll put her over here.
Oh, they all have names in my head.
Yeah.
So Rob's already done all the backstories of all the characters.
He does name them. Yeah, the names in the Pro Tools are always very intentional. I hadn't thought about that until now. Absolutely.
Wow. So the album's called The Million Masks of God. I don't know how intentional this was on your part, but are you familiar with the concept of the 100,000 Fools of God? It's actually the name of a book about mystical music of Central Asia.
Tell me everything.
So the book is called 100,000 Fools of God, and it's about this Central Asian tradition of musicians who are thought to have kind of a direct connection to the divine. And so they play with such intensity and for such extended periods of time that you actually have to wrestle the instrument out of their hands to get them to stop.
Wow.
That they just get into this state of mind and of being. And, you know, the word fool in this case is, it's kind of like, you know, the pure fool, the Parsifal tale, you know, so it's not like an idiot.
Absolutely.
It's just,
And
you know, that phrase, it's such a, you know, once you've heard that, 100,000 fools of God, I see million masks of God, and I just automatically went there. There's also the Islamic tradition of the 99 names of God.
There's also a thing in the Art of Zen where a guy talks about essentially, though where the million masks of God came from originally was from an old poem from like the early 1900s called Golden Leaves, I think, or Gold Leaves. And it's essentially a poem about how in your youth, you're trying to find God, but you can't find him anywhere. And you're continuing to search and you get frustrated. And you the more you search, the less it's there. And the older that you get, the more it's everywhere. And that guy wrote it as, you know, it's in the leaves, it's in people, it's in the street, that's where you can really find, it's in the disenfranchised where you can find the face of God. And then that was later taken and pushed more forward in this, I believe it's called The Art of Zen, by another philosopher years later. And it's just this concept that, for me, I loved the idea of, like, man, everything is. And then when I brought it to Rob, he looked at it from a place of, like, the things that mask God, the million things that are in the way of trying to actually find God. Mm-hmm. And once we had that conversation and realized that the name could
mean anything,
it had different thoughts, yet meant different things to us, we felt like we had sort of stumbled upon something that hopefully the listener, like, can interpret that in whatever that way they like and apply it to the album.
Well, as I just did.
Yeah.
As you did. Yeah, I mean, perfectly.
So, job well done, guys.
Thank you.
The new Manchester Orchestra album is called The Million Masks of God, and we've heard a couple of live performances of songs from it, but you guys have chosen to go back to the 2017 album, Black Mile to the Surface, for this next piece, The Gold. Big hit for you guys, so no surprise, but that album too was kind of a turning point for the band, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. That unexpectedly, in a way, you know, we really put so much into that album. We were so close to it that we were okay if it didn't connect with anyone, because we loved it so much, or maybe we didn't even love it because we had worked on it so hard, mm-hmm. and because it was just so close to us. We knew we put everything we had into it. So if it fails, then there's the proof that maybe we shouldn't be putting everything into something that way, you know? I'm out of here. but when it had such a connection, I wouldn't say it directly influenced how we wanted to make this next record, but it definitely allowed us to realize that we can take some chances and try some things. And as I think we've always tried, but this felt like a more methodical way, less reactionary to what we've made before, more intentional in what we wanted to say in the moment.
All right, let's hear The Gold live performance. Andy Hull, Robert McDowell from Manchester Orchestra.
One, two, three, one. You anymore, you've become my ceiling. I don't think I love you anymore. That gold mine changed you. You don't have to hold me anymore. Our cave's collapsing. I don't want to be me anymore. My old man told me, you don't open your eyes for a while, you just breathe that moment down. 40 miles out of East Illinois, and my old man's heart attack. And I believe you're crazy. And you believe that you loved me. Bark here anymore. The Black Hills and the Collie, it wasn't really dangerous for us. We just catch you coughing. What the hell are we gonna do? The Black Mile to the Surface. Well, I don't wanna be here anymore. It all tastes like poison. You can't open your eyes for a while, you just breathe that moment. 40 miles out of home, mistaken. I'm trying to translate you again. And I believe you're crazy. You believe that you love me. You and me, we're a day. So lose your faith.
in me. You don't open your eyes for a while, you just breathe that moment down. You can't open your eyes for a while, you just breathe. Crazy. You believe that you are me. You and me, we're a day dream. So lose your faith in me.
That's The Gold from Manchester Orchestra, a live performance by Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. That's from their 2017 record, Black Mile to the Surface. The new album is called The Million Masks of God. And Rob, I want to come back to something you said just a few minutes ago. You were talking about getting the best possible instrumental mix before you started layering on the vocals. Given how important and how primary the sound of Andy's vocals were in things like the Swiss Army Man soundtrack, is that how you guys normally work? Do you start with the instrumentals and build up the vocals?
For full records, yeah, we definitely build the bed of instruments. There is a certain tipping point where it's like, all right, we need the vocal on it so that we can hear the DNA of the song and what it's actually going to be. But sometimes you're in places where you may not, it may not be the best environment to do vocals. And so a lot of what we do is, you know, we'll add, and then we'll subtract and really see what is crucial. But the evolution of the creative process, you need to keep adding. So it's more of zooming out and making sure what's there is all intentional and all necessary, and then you get that sounding the best it can be, and then you add in the beautiful vocal.
And Andy, do you show up with a scratch vocal track, or do you have lyrics that are pretty much set and ready to go, whatever the background sounds like?
You know, this really changed, this record changed a lot in experimenting with a new way to do that. You know, we record it live, so we have a scratch track, and then I may do another scratch track if the one that's live is like unbearable and will drive me insane to hear, you know, over and over. We'll get a decent one. And then when we realize the music's around it, we're familiar with what the vocals are supposed to do, then we take the vocals out and we do work really hard to on the instrumental track so that we're driving around in our car listening to the instrumental of the record and dreaming about it, you know? And it's allowing this moment of, like, as the singer, it's so lovely to be able to sing on a track that is 85% done rather than some, you know, a weird naked version of this. Like, it's much easier for me to believe it when I'm hearing the things that are intentionally there. But this time, I think, was the first time lyrically I allowed it to keep evolving. There were moments where sections, you know, even towards the last, very last sessions of trying to wrap up the album, there were three things I realized could fit in spots and how I could connect, you know, certain storylines a little bit further. And not beating myself up about that, you know, being okay with not having every single thought, you know, like the thoughts were there. I just had to find the right way to say them. So, yeah, we liked that process this time.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's another process that you haven't had a chance to go through yet, and that is playing these songs live in front of an audience. I mean, yeah. I love what you've done, you know, the beautiful multi-camera black and white shoot in front of the big stack of amps. I mean, these performances look and sound great.
Thank you.
So are you making plans? Can you make plans for doing this music live?
Yeah, I think we're doing everything that everybody else is doing, you know, trying to see if it's going to happen this fall, winter, and then having a backup plan if it's not. I feel really bad for the artists that released albums last year, because the lifespan of a song is really only 50% done, or even of an album is only 50% done once it's released. It has to then live its other life with other people, seeing other people, and then it becomes theirs, and that's how it kind of finds its final form. So I feel like we can deal if it's not, you know, this year, it's okay. But I feel bad, and I'm not looking forward to that feeling of like, oh man, you know, that these things need this second half of their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On a purely practical level, Rob, there are many layers of sound on this record. Have you figured out when in the course of human events you can go back out and play live how to do these pieces?
We have begun to bite that off, and so far it has not been easy. But luckily, yeah, the rest of the guys are great, and everybody has two hands, two feet, and we'll be playing something at all times.
You'll be dancing as fast as you can
yes,
out there.
That's right.
Andy Hall and Rob McDowell from Manchester Orchestra. It's a great new record, guys. The Million
Thank
Masks
so
of
much.
God. Thank you so much for being with us again today.
Thanks, John.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure.
Do watch the videos of Andy and Rob playing these songs. They're beautiful, and they're on our YouTube channel, and of course right here at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer is Karen Havlick, our video editor is David McLean, and I'm John Schaefer.
The man inside.